Welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans, for the fans. And here's your host, Conrad Cushman.
Welcome to episode 49 of the Everything Pro Wrestling podcast. I am your host, Conrad Cushman, and today I'm doing my very first interview with a famous pro wrestler. One of my favorite pro wrestlers, actually, from Lucha Underground. It is Marty the Moth Casaus. Marty, how are you, good sir?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing, bro?
I'm doing well, man. What's going on out in your neck of the woods? I saw you just post something on Instagram earlier with some snow.
Dude, like yesterday it was a great day. Like, it wasn't even that cold. We're sitting in the 50s. And that's not bad for March. But then I look outside and winter has come. For you Game of Thrones people, you guys showed up and snowed all over my backyard. So hopefully White Walkers aren't nearby. But my house got crazy snow today. I don't like it.
Yeah, I had wrote to you the one time about that's not snow because I'm in Buffalo, New York. So it's that's real snow. That's rough. But
yeah.
But it's no joke where you are either. But how's everything been going with you, man? I know a lot of people haven't seen you on Lucha Underground recently. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been quite busy. I'm still wrestling. Wrestling scene has been insane. This whole year, and I think it's only going to go into a better time. I've been working on my Twitch and my YouTube channels. I've been Twitching every day, playing video games with fans. I launched a CBD line at the end of January. So selling supplements, doing some movies, doing some Twitch, and playing some video games on YouTube. So a little bit of everything that is what I've been up to. I'm the Twitch champion, by the way. I have a big fat belt that says Twitch all over it, so that's fun officially from Twitch. So that's kind of cool. So, traveling the world, playing video games, and making videos and selling supplements and helping people. So that has been my life this year so far.
I noticed in your last stream that Twitch belt in the background. That's a beauty, actually. I really, really like that.
Yeah, it's great. Twitch and Rocky Mountain Pro came out the last year at TwitchCon. And this year, I'm hopefully going to still have it by the time TwitchCon comes out. I got to fight for it. I physically have to get the ring and fight for it. But I'll be at TwitchCon this September, and hopefully I'll still be the guy wearing the belt.
Marty, I've seen you do a lot of matches. I have all the faith in the world that you'll keep that belt by any means.
Oh, by any means is my favorite style.
Now, Marty, I don't want to be like all other wrestling interviewers, but some of the questions will be stuff that you probably answered a million times. But let me ask you some things basic first so that people know. Now, I looked up some information on you. You could tell me if it's completely wrong. I use Wikipedia. All those kids in high school and stuff right now, please don't yell at me to check your sources. It was the best I could do. I want to know, it says that you were a four-sport athlete. And I wanted to know, what sports did you play and what sport were you considered best at and which one did you like the most?
That's a tough one. So in high school, I played football, wrestling, track, and lacrosse. I was at that time the only person in my school doing four sports because I had to do track. And then straight after track practice, I'd run over and finish the rest of lacrosse practice. I like the physicality of football. Football and lacrosse, I got to hit people. I like that. I was actually really into football when I was in high school. Wrestling, I actually joined wrestling because I thought it's what I'm doing now. And I got handed a singlet and headgear and totally crushed my dreams. but football I was really into. I ended up breaking my collarbone at the fourth game of senior year. And I had a bunch of scholarships to go play football places, and then those kind of all dwindled out after I got out most of the time of that season. And wrestling was just something that I still loved. And once I figured out I could get into wrestling, that kind of changed everything for my life. So from being a four-sport athlete to now I'm in wrestling and in spandex. So a crazy world that we're in. So football, wrestling, track, and lacrosse. I loved football, but ended up becoming a professional wrestler because of my love for it in the very beginning.
Now, how did your love for pro wrestling start? I mean, were you a fan from a young age? I've had people on who've been like, oh, I've loved wrestling since I was a little kid. And I've had people from 2K Sports and 2K Games who make the WWE games tell me that they didn't become a fan until they were in college. So when did it start for you?
Actually, a little bit later than those people who say I've been a fan all my life. I wasn't a fan until my teenager years. It's funny because I'm actually living in the house right now where I first found wrestling. When I was a little kid, I remember my grandpa and my uncle used to always watch wrestling. And my first memory of it is I saw the NWO beat the crap out of somebody. And I was really pissed off about it. I'm like, Dad, or like, Grandpa, there's like six people beating up one guy. Why is this fair? And they're laughing at me because I'm all getting enthralled into it. And that got me hooked. And then I remember the first time the first actual wrestling match I remember is Bill DeMott versus Bill Goldberg. And it was in Salt Lake City. It was the start of the streak in WCW. And it was in Salt Lake City, Utah. So I'm like, wait a minute, these guys travel? Oh? And so I got hooked between the two, my grandpa's, and it got me. And funny because full circle in life, Bill DeMott becomes my WWE Tough Enough coach later on in life, and Bill Goldberg becomes my favorite wrestler until I see Shawn Michaels. So crazy how the world works, right?
And you started with WCW too. That's very different. But for that time frame, it makes sense.
Hell yeah, man. I was avid against WWF. And it was WWF back then. I was all about Diamond Dallas Page, Sting. I was WCW all the way through. And it wasn't until the very end where I started flipping back and forth to see each one. I know that was a big thing for everybody. It's like, oh, you're on commercial. Let's go to WWF. WWF's on commercial. Let's go to WCW. I was a WCW. I wouldn't change the channel. And then it happened. WCW was gone. And I heartbroke.
So sad, so sad. Now, when you were at that age or enthralled in wrestling in your beginning of your fandom, we'll say, did you go to any of the live events? Did you go to an indie show or anything?
I didn't even know indies existed until after high school. And that's what kind of changed the course of career for me because I always loved it. And I always thought it was a thing that, like, 30, 40 guys like got together. It's a secret club, and it was essentially kind of it was in the very beginning. It was a secret club. They tried to hurt people to bring in, but I thought it was these 40 guys driving around TV and just being awesome. I didn't know there was an independent scene at all until after college. Or I'm sorry, after high school, and then my first year of college, I found a wrestling ring, and then as soon as I stepped through that ropes, I was stuck. I'm screwed, and here I am still, all because I took the one first step inside those ropes inside of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on – we're pretty close in age, too, by the way. And around that time, people used to always say, like, oh, you're an avid wrestling fan. Why don't you look into it? I mean, back then, I don't know if you ever tried to Google it, but I used to try and look up wrestling schools. You could not find them. You could not find them back in, like, 2003, 2004, 2005. It was like a secret. You had to know someone still. I felt like it was still a little bit old school to the point to where, like, now wrestling schools are on Twitter like, hey, sign up. DM me. Tell me how much money you got. It's so different now. It's so different.
It's very different. So that's why, like, I want to make it easier for those people who, like, are in Utah and, like, I want to be a wrestler. Now there's my same company I started with just barely had their 17-year anniversary. This last Saturday, I wrestled in Utah for the first time in over a year. It was kind of cool because I was there kind of at the beginning of that company. Now it's 17 years later. And any company in any industry, 17 years is a crap ton of time. So a professional wrestling company, it's awesome that they've been able to stay long and be consistent for so long. But the wrestling scene, when I started versus now, has changed so, so drastically. I'm super glad for those wrestlers. Right now, if you are a wrestling fan or you're a person wanting to wrestle, you are in the best time of wrestling. Dang near period, except for the you are in the best time because in the Monday Night Wars there was wrestling schools everywhere. You are in the best time to get into wrestling and succeed now than any other time before.
And I'm going to just chime in my thoughts real quick on that. I agree with you. There are so many great organizations happening. You still have the WWE. You have New Japan Pro Wrestling that's starting to get a lot more attention. This isn't the day of the tape traders anymore. It's people can find this on their television now a little bit more than they could before. I'm not sitting on YouTube clicking and looking for matches from different companies just so I could watch something different. You have Impact Wrestling that's traveling everywhere. Lucha Underground, I thought they brought some cool stuff, and we're going to get into that later on when we talk about that. But I want to ask you something. That wrestling company you're talking about, is it UCW?
Sure is, yep.
Ultra Championship Wrestling. I looked that up, and yes, you did start there around that time. And was your wrestling name, is it Tristan Gallo? Was that what you started as?
Right. Tristan Gallo, the reflection of perfection, the best in sports entertainment, the man that men want to be, not women want to be with. Yes, Tristan Gallo is who I wrestled under.
Absolutely. Do you have any fond memories as performing as Tristan Gallo in the early 2000s?
So check it out this way. This is how crazy independent wrestling is. It is. I started wrestling in 2003. I didn't know there was other professional wrestling besides like my little local school until 2007. So that was like four or 5 years of just almost wasted time, but just a whole lot of training, just not actual like on the job time. But I started going to traveling to California and having some fun there. And one more, what was the question? One more time, because I had a point. I can't remember it now.
I wanted to know what your fond memories were of working as Tristan Gallo.
Yes, Colorado. I first started going to Colorado and becoming part of Team Shake It, where I shook my hips a lot with my gigolo friend. He's a male dancer. And I'm like, why not? I'm just going to like pretend I'm all that. And so I became part of Team Shake It there, where I was essentially a playboy. And it was fun. I've had amazing wrestling memories from the beginning to the end in Salt Lake City and the independent scene to crazy stories of 25,000 people. So my life, when I look back at it, is just like sometimes I have to pinch myself because life's what you make it. And fortunately for me, I've been blessed enough to make an awesome life. So there was a lot of very fond memories. Anything in particular?
No. I just wanted to ask you about UCW, because you mentioning that, I was like, maybe this is perfect transitioning in my notes here. That's what I had to talk about next. So it just worked out that you just mentioned that right at the end of what we were talking about. So I was like, oh, we're working with this. But
my big thing about, remember, is just driving. Like, I used to be a stockbroker for Fidelity Investments. I used to help people retire, call people and help them retire. Once I get out of work, we get them prepared to retire. But I remember my biggest thing about UCW is remembering stopping from there, getting in a car, driving to California 12 hours, wrestling the show on Saturday at NWA Hollywood, was back then, driving back. And then by that time, it was like Sunday at midnight, and I had work at 8. I just remember a whole lot of hard work when I think of UCW.
Yeah. Now, you said you wrestled in NWA Hollywood. This is just a sidebar question for me personally. Did you work with Mikey O'Shea ever? Do you remember him? He had like an Irish character.
You're still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Sorry, a phone call just came through, so it cut off everything.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Remember who?
Mikey O'Shea.
I do.
Now, he was famous on YouTube as MB Wrestler. He was one of my favorite guys to listen to. So, Mr. O'Shea, if you're listening out there, just know I was one of like your original subscribers. And I always just enjoyed his work. I don't know if he's still wrestling now. I don't see too many videos from him since he got into the business. But any fond memories of Mikey O'Shea? Did you ever work with him?
I don't think I did, actually. I don't think I have. I just know the name.
Yeah, that would have been probably in the beginning of his career, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be the very, very beginning of his career.
Yes.
So, like, he was just starting. I think that's when I was just starting traveling all over the place. So, like, we had some interactions, but
And you know what's cool, though? I'm pretty sure that with all that NWA stuff going on, now that there's this resurgence of the NWA, I still see that same arena around. I hear and remember, like, Matt Stryker doing commentary. It's pretty cool to see, like, even the NWA championship being revived, and they do those 10 pounds of gold series. Dave Lagana and Billy Corgan are doing excellent things with that. So I'm happy to see where the wrestling business has went for independent wrestlers, especially working with NWA.
I'm stoked because we haven't forgot where wrestling came from. And I think NWA is where wrestling came from, really. And so I'm excited that, again, like you said, that they came back and revived, but that there's so much history in the NWA. I'm glad it hasn't been forgotten.
Yeah, I love just seeing some of the old school people involved in the promos. Like, I saw Nick Aldis talking to Harley Race recently, and Jim Cornette cutting promos about the Crockett Cup. Like, that stuff just brings me back to my younger years, and it's just so cool to see all that stuff. And I like that they pay tribute to the people who did it before them.
100%. That's why I'm so glad NWA's been coming back with a resurgence. People always forget about the past and just think about right now. But if you forget about the past, you're about to repeat those mistakes. So they got NWA still around, kicking it awesomely. And resurgence. Willie Mack was one of the champions last I heard, actually. I love Willie Mack. I'll be with Willie Mack in a couple days.
Yes.
You know, still the champion over there?
He is still the champion. All right. Willie Mack's doing tremendous things. I haven't seen him have a title defense in a little bit. They've been focused on the World Heavyweight Championship because Jazz just recently defended the title as well. So NWA's doing great things. But, Marty, this is about you right now. And I have to get to when I first initially was introduced to you and where I remember you from, first off, and it's Tough Enough. A lot of people may not know this, but you were on Tough Enough in 2011 with a lot of people who made it big in the business today. Some of them, I don't know what happened to them, but I would definitely say you are on top of the success of this group here. And some of the people from that Tough Enough class were you, and I believe your name on the show, was it Martin? Did they go by your real name on there?
Yep. They sure did.
Ivelisse was on there as well. Someone who I'm a fan of that I just saw recently on, I think it was SmackDown as a security guard, was Eric Watts. And no, not Bill Watts' son. what was the girl who was in the Funkadactyls' name? Is it Ariana? Yep.
Killing it now with her own host show.
Yes. Big Andy. I don't know what happened to Big Andy. Luke Robinson. I never heard. I've tried to look up stuff on him. I don't know what happened to him. He kind of just disappeared.
He went away from wrestling scene. I think he did a couple more matches after Tough Enough. But he's running a really professional and workout program called the Wolfpack Fitness, I believe. That's helped a lot of people out in the main area. So he has been essentially a health coach, helping a lot of people there. So it's good for him. It's crazy to see when people have these times of, I want to be a wrestler, to see where they go. Always an adventure. So good. Congrats on him for having such a sexual little workout program there that's been taking care of him and a bunch of other people.
Now, Jeremiah Riggs I had down here as well. Is he still doing MMA?
I have no idea. I have not heard from Jeremiah in a long time. By last I heard, he was, yes. Jeremiah cracks me up, though.
Yeah, you know what? This was probably the last, like, super funny season of Tough Enough. I just think of the whole Alicia Fox versus Melina. I will never forget that in Stone Cold's face. That's like a meme for anything you ever want to use when someone says something stupid. She said the wrong thing to Stone Cold then. I don't know why she said that. But on the show, you were never in the bottom half to be eliminated, ever. Not once.
Yeah, I came into the bottom three, and I'm okay with that.
And, dude, honestly, you were in – I thought you had it in the bag. I was like, this dude's the best, man. He is going to win this. I mean, I was cheering for Eric as my underdog. Like, come on, man. But I knew that they weren't going to get him. he was just going with heart, and he did a lot of stuff for his brother, and I remember all that. But you and Ivelisse were the two that I'm like, these two got something, and they should definitely pick them up. So what happened with your injury? How did you actually get hurt, for people who haven't seen it?
Well, that's been a mystery me and the doctors have been trying to figure out. There was a drill. We had a late night practice one night, and all it was is a kickout drill. So literally a guy is laying on the floor, and we lay on top of him. We wrap a leg, try to pin him. He kicks out. We get up, we get out of the ring, and get back in the bottom of the back of the line. Simple drill, right?
You're right.
So the guy lays down. I pin him, 1-2, he kicks out. I get up to get out of the ring, and just this snap happened. Like, I watched the tape. My ankle wasn't twisted in any sort of way or anything. I don't know if the ring came up or what happened, but I guess everything happens for a reason. It just kind of snapped. I went for about 2 or 3 more drills, but I couldn't put any weight on my leg. And finally, the doctors forced me to sit down and say, we have to take you to the hospital. And they lied to me and said that they'd be okay with bringing me back, even if I could shoot up with something and just keep going. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. And they lied to me. And I went to the hospital and said I was done. So broke my ankle. I ended up having to get a surgery. I still had 2 little screws in my ankle, and every time it gets cold, I'm reminded of WWE Tough Enough.
Yeah, that was definitely a heartbreaker to watch you hang up your own belt at the end there with Stone Cold. And you were the only person who got to do that, too.
I did. Stone Cold was nice enough to let me hang up my own belt. A lot to me. Hey, but if you're going to lose a competition, they send me out like a hero. So I thank them for making a few people cry for me on the way out.
Yeah, man, that was rough to see. And you were definitely one of the favorites, like, in the house, too. I know that. I don't know if it was drummed up for television, and usually reality shows are, guys, if you didn't know, it's a work. But, like, people didn't seem like they liked Luke, but everybody liked you. There was just always something good. I mean, except for the guys competing against you, but that's understandable. But everyone else was just like, oh, yeah, I like Martin a lot. So what was the biggest thing that you got out of that, would you say, from doing the Tough Enough experience? I mean, was it beneficial to you? Was it something that got you just so angry? Like, I just want to know what you were feeling during that time throughout that period.
Well, I was very conflicted for a while there. I was planning on winning that thing. Stone Cold Steve Austin said, you wouldn't have broke that. You might have won this thing. I said, yeah, thank you. So it's good to hear it from his mouth. He said I would want it if I broke my ankle, but it's good to hear it from his mouth. Who knows, he's pulling smoke up my butt. But I heard from Stone Cold, said so that works for me. The biggest thing I learned from Tough Enough is that anything is possible. I went in there. All right, I'm going to get real with you and your podcast for a second. I've been thinking, I'm doing a lot of reflecting here as I try to build my life out the way I like. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I took a lot of verbal and some physical abuse. I was bullied. I was picked on a little bit. It just messed me up in the head, so I didn't go in with a lot of confidence. But wrestling, I used, like, hey, I'm just going to pretend I'm, like, something way out there, somebody super confident, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where Tristan Gallo came from. That's where the reflection of perfection, the best in sports entertainment, fake it till you make it. When I got to Tough Enough, I'm like, holy crap, I got here. And then it probably was after, like, the first week, I'm like, or the first or second week, I was like, I can win this. I can win this and be made professional wrestling my life. I could do this full time if I win this competition. And that's when I'm like, let's do this. And then after you see me in the competitions doing well, and then the accident happened. And it's funny because I'm actually grateful for the accident, because it proved to me that I could have made it. And then after that, it was just years of me trying to become a professional wrestler. Then it happened. I did it. I'm now a full-time professional wrestler. But from Tough Enough, I learned that anything is possible if you work your freaking ass off for it. So now that's what started me into this whole, let's see all the stuff that I love and see if I can make a living out of it. That's why I'm doing Twitch. That's why I'm doing YouTube. That's why I'm helping people with these supplements because of my Lyme disease. I have a disease called Lyme disease. They didn't say that on Tough Enough, but it sucked to deal with. Tough Enough for me, the biggest thing I learned is that you could do anything at all if you just work your ass off for it and want it bad enough. So I'm very actually glad that my ankle broke.
I appreciate you opening up to the Everything Pro Wrestling community about that. And dude, like I said, you were definitely one of the best on the show. And that's just my opinion on it too, personally. But
yeah, I appreciate very much. I think so too. Just kidding. I think Matt Cross is the one that scared me the most, to be honest.
No, Matt Cross was really dope. His exiting was the one that surprised me the most for how they did it. And I was just like, whoa, do you guys know who he is? Like, I looked up some of his stuff during the time, and I'm like, this guy's really good. And you're just going to cut him like that. But in 2011, wrestling was in a different place. Everything was different at that time. It still wasn't like the way it is today, like we were talking about.
I think back then it was a little bit more of the big boy game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They weren't impressed.
Stone Cold Steve Austin was nice enough for me to give me his cell phone number, keep in touch with me. He even said, hey, kid, send me some of your matches. I'll critique them. And he watched some of my matches and came back and said, I like this. I didn't like this. And I'm like, I just got personal coaching from Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's badass. That's cool as hell. But yeah, Matt was the one that was scary to me because I'm like, oh, this guy, I heard this guy's good. Everyone kept blowing him up, and I didn't know who he was before that because I didn't know the independent wrestling scene as well. So, but it worked out well for me. So once he went, I'm like, I can win this. So I'm really glad Tough Enough happened the way it did, to be honest. Did you hear Tough Enough's coming back?
Yes. Yes, I definitely just read that they just trademarked the name again, so that usually means another season's coming up. And I always like that better than the Diva Searches and all that stuff. It goes back to it. I watched it when it was like Maven and Josh, the announcer from Impact, Josh Matthews, excuse me, and Chris Nowinski. And I just remember watching that, and I was into it, man. I was like, man, I like all three of these dudes. I don't know who's going to win. And I would have never thought Josh Matthews would still be in the industry as an announcer because I thought he was a great wrestler. And Chris Nowinski is now doing all of the head scans and concussion work that he's been doing. And then Maven was someone who I thought shined very bright, and I don't understand why he was released either at the time. Like, it was just bad timing for him, and then everything just worked out the way it did. And I love Tough Enough because it introduces me to a lot of people that I didn't know. I didn't know who Eva Lise was before this. Eric Watts. I didn't know who you were at the time. But it allowed me to say, when I saw you again on television, hey, I know that dude. That's the dude from Tough Enough. He's really good. And then I ended up watching that stuff. And we're going to take a quick little break right here. And we will be back with Marty the Moth, and we're going to talk about his time in Lucha Underground right after this. What's happening, college hoops fans? It's Conrad Cushman from the Everything Pro Wrestling Podcast. The month is March. The madness is going on, so that means March Madness is happening. And if you guys want the best college basketball podcast around, you're going to want to check out Everything College Basketball. Everything College Basketball is hosted by Josh Burton, Peyton Burton, and Tyler Cook, and they give you all of the latest on your favorite team as we head into March Madness. With all that being said, guys, they have a podcast. You can find it on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And also, go on to Facebook and in the search bar, type in Everything College Basketball. On there, they have a community group with some of the finest college basketball fans out there. You can go in there and chat hoops with anybody you like at any time. With all that being said, guys, let's get back to the episode. Wrestling fans, we are back with part two of the podcast. We are still here with my man, Marty the Moth Casaus. Marty, we talked about your Tough Enough stuff, and you elaborated on it more than enough. but I want to talk about something that's going to kind of bleed into the next part of your career that I know about. And it happened a couple years later. It's this little wrestling promotion called Lucha Underground. And I absolutely loved Lucha Underground. A while ago, a podcaster was telling everybody to listen to it. Someone that I listened to named the Sala Monster. And he said, you should give Lucha Underground a try. It's really great. And I was just like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know about this because this is another wrestling show. It's not like WWE, he said. I'm like, well, I like this. So I turned it on one night, and I believe this was either at the end of season one or season two. And I just watched, and I became like so involved with all the characters. I love movies. I love television shows. I love watching stuff on Netflix. And Lucha Underground had all of it. And I absolutely love the work. So how did you get involved with Lucha Underground?
Well, first off, thank you, Sala Monster, for recommending Lucha Underground. I actually was one of the first contacted for Lucha Underground. They contacted me about a year and a half before it started. Eric Van Wagner, the executive producer, contacted me. He was actually the executive producer on WWE Tough Enough. And that's how we already knew each other. And he's like, hey, I'm thinking about bringing Lucha Libre to America. Would you be interested? We don't have a name or anything for it yet, but would you be down? I'm just kind of grabbing interest right now. You're Mexican, right? I'm like, yeah, actually, I am half Mexican. Awesome, perfect. You'd be interested? I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. And then literally that's it. They called me and said, were you down for this month or this month? And I said, yes, I am. And we signed the contract, and then we went. So I actually got contacted by Eric Van Wagner a long time before the show shot. They had no idea what to actually do with me. And then finally we landed on Mar of the Moth. And it worked out quite well. Lucha Underground. All right.
Now, Lucha Underground recently has been getting kind of a bad rap for these contracts and everything else. It sounds like you have nothing but good things to say about everybody. I mean, did you feel the contracts were unfair, like some of the other wrestlers are now regretting signing them, or?
100%. Absolutely, contracts were unfair. They weren't very good contracts, but there's a lot of people who they weren't doing anything at a television exposure product level yet, including me. I wasn't doing, after Tough Enough, I hadn't been on TV in a wrestling environment in a while. I'd done like movies and TV series, but I haven't done anything in the wrestling realm on TV. So as far as my wrestling career, I'm like, sure, I'll be on a television show. So there's a lot of people complaining about it, but look, you guys wouldn't, not many people would know of me from Lucha if I was only on WWE Tough Enough. There's a lot of people who have name value now and whose careers Lucha Underground helped greatly. And everyone's crapping on it because they haven't heard any information. And there was a sale. Don't you guys like when you save money? There was a sale on merchandise and that says, oh, the end of Lucha Underground. No. Just like every single year, we never get contacted. They don't tell us anything. So this is business as normal for Lucha Underground, to be honest. The contracts weren't fantastic, but at the same time, a lot of people, including me, weren't having that TV level exposure in the wrestling realm at that time. So it was a great contract to get that in order to get to this situation. Now it's something we have to deal with to see about other opportunities right now. Because until Lucha starts, which I'm going to be straight up honest with everybody here, I have not been contacted about Lucha Underground, but I am contracted for two more seasons. So we will see on the future of Lucha Underground, but never say never. And this is business as normal every single season. So.
Thank you for being straight up and addressing that for all of the wrestling fans out there. Now, I know that you've talked about some of the stuff with Lucha Underground, but I got to know the character, Marty the Moth Martinez. Who thought of this? Did you have any involvement? Is it a group of writers who thought of this? Fill me in, please.
It was an evolution, to be honest. I think that's why it was so successful. And I, Krista Joseph, props to Krista Joseph, awesome writer. Awesome writer. He used to write for WWE, and he was the head writer at Lucha Underground. Him and Chris, a few of the other writers, Chris came up to me and said, hey, this is what we're thinking. You're going to make your TV debut today. I'm like, sweet. What character am I going to do? Because by that time, I had three matches. And I actually, I don't know if it's very known, but I got a concussion during that. So that's why you didn't see me most of the first season, is because we shot that first season in 3 months. And I had a couple practice matches, two practice matches, got a concussion, and insurance wouldn't let me wrestle until like the last week of we were shooting Lucha Underground season one. So that's why I wasn't there most of the season. And that during that time, me being out is when they kind of figured out, let's do more of them off. Sure, this is a character that wasn't, I don't believe, in the original script, but they needed somebody for comedic relief. What Chris came up to me and said is, you're going to be Marvin the Moth. You have Aztec Pride, because we have these the Aztec tribes here in Lucha Underground. So you have Aztec Pride. You're a big kid, and you're just not all there. Go.
And that was the direction you were given to?
That was the direction. It's like, just make us laugh. Just be you. Just make us laugh. You're here to make us laugh. So just be you. Just have fun. Make us laugh. You're Marty the Moth. You have Aztec Pride. You're not all there. You're a big kid. Go. And so we're like, all right. So I was like, I don't know really what to do. I was trying to think of stuff to do. And then we had rehearsals, so the cameras kind of know, okay, Melissa's going to stand here for the introductions, etc. And then I love to joke around with people, so I just snuck behind her, like, super close and whispered something in her ear. I don't remember what it was. And, like, rah, 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 something like that. And then Chris Joseph is like, stop. Like, what? It's like, can you flap your arms and then just get up to it real close and like, just like you just did. Sure. Can you like whisper creepy things in her ear and flap your arms like a moth? Sure. I guess. You'll do that? I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. I don't care. I'm trying to figure this character out too. I'll do that and see what happens. And, because I was there with Melissa flapping my arms, that kind of is what stuck and what people gravitated towards. And because Melissa is Melissa and everybody loves Melissa, they automatically hated me because I was over here sweating on her and dripping on her and whispering horrible things in her ear. So that's how the character started. And that's how we got with the flap of the moth. And then just kind of evolved from there, actually. After season a little bit, as Lucha Underground was going, I went up and talked to Vampiro. I said, like, I love being the comedic relief. Like, that's what I'm good at. I like making people laugh in my real life. But, like, usually the comedic relief never holds a title. And I'd like to be able to be both Vampiro. So how can I make the comedic relief also scary? Because if you're going to make a character scary or messed up, I think Vampiro is a great person to go to. And so I asked him, and he gave me some suggestions, and I think that's when the turn from comedic to now I'm kidnapping sexy star, and now I'm stabbing people with forks part came in. So it was all kind of an evolution of you're a big kid, not all that. Go to like one time for her rehearsal, I did the air with the moth arm flap. And then you're stabbing people with forks after a few conversations. So that's kind of the evolution of the moth right there.
Yeah, it was so different to see you portray that character, because I watched when you first came out and I'm like, okay, this guy's pretty funny, but at the same time, I'm kind of intrigued. And eventually you led into this character to where I was like, now I love horror films. I don't know if you're a horror film fan. By the work that you did, I would assume you were, because you were creepy, dude. I'm not going to lie. Like, there were times when I was watching, I'm like, yo, this dude is super creepy. And I easily would put you as the creepiest guy on the roster when you were doing all that stuff. Even the stuff with torturing sexy star, that was such a great storyline and how you guys played that all off. And I don't want to tell anybody about it. If you haven't, go find Lucha Underground wherever you can. Go back and watch all of this from the beginning of the season all the way to the last episode that just came out not too long ago. You guys will be very interested in everything you see. And I want to talk to you about something else. Your time as champion, was that something you ever imagined when you got into this? Because did you ever think that you were going to be the face of Lucha Underground for quite some time? Like, I thought it was really dope that you got the opportunity to do that with how your character started and then how quickly you went from funny guy to this dude's creepy as hell and I'm scared of him, and now he's running roughshod over all of the roster.
Well, the way I figured is, you don't go in there thinking you're going to do well, then you shouldn't probably be doing it. I didn't know if my career was ever going to take me to the championship. But after season three, I heard rumors of, hey, we were thinking about even giving you a championship run this season. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then it got caught in my head. And then right before season four, they're like, I think we're going to go with it. I'm like, really? Okay. It's a cool film. Like, hey, you're gonna be the face of the company. And I think it was for, I think, three, four weeks, where I was the champion until we went into Ultima Lucha. And I think, like, the reaction when I beat Pentagon with his own move pissed so many people off and made, like, the other half of the arena happy, because there were people that do like my work, but there's other people who hate me. It was one of the loudest and mixed reactions I've heard in a really long time. And I was super excited about that. And then I went on the internet just trying to see. It got featured on Sports Illustrated when the title change happened. There was a lot of cool exposure and publicity when that happened. So it was cool. It's always good to be the champ.
I think that the main reason that mixed reaction happened was because everybody loved Pentagon, and he was finally at the point to where we wanted to see him be champion. And then we were kind of upset. We knew that the time was coming that he had to lose it. But then when he lost it to you, it's kind of like, I'm happy this dude won, but I'm still kind of sad that Pentagon lost. And then you healed it up perfectly right after. Now, real quick, another question that made me cringe. And I just had a thought of where I'm sitting right now and remembering you with that fork in your hand. And I think I just had deja vu, because I feel like I've had this interview with you already. Was that some Abdullah the Butcher stuff that you were thinking of, or who told you to grab the fork and start going after people?
Me, actually. they really wanted to portray me as a big kid. So they one day came up with an Aztec Pride lunchbox, and they had shit filled up. They gave me a lunchbox. I'm like, oh, all right, what am I going to do this? Well, I'm thinking, I don't know, just walk out with it. I'm like, well, if I'm going to walk out with it, let me, like, use it. Could you fill it with stuff? And then so they, like, made a busted-ass sandwich and, like, put some carrots in there and shit. Sorry, am I allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, cool. They just gave me that. I'm like, well, could you guys fill it up with stuff? And I can try to figure out how to, like, make it useful rather than just walking out with it for the sake of walking out with it. Like, yeah, it would be funny if you, like, ate part of your sandwich and stuff like that. I'm like, okay. I'm like, what is a fork? Can I stab somebody with it? And maybe I can use that. Like, mm-hmm. And that's when Christian was like, a blue the butcher stuff. All right. And then a couple of hours went by, and I'm like, and they're like, yeah, actually, we want to do that. I'm like, okay. So, I don't know. It was just, they gave me a lunchbox, and I had to figure out something logical to do with it. If I'm going to walk out the lunchbox, I want it to be more than just a prop for me to walk out on an entrance. So that was my way of making a lunchbox useful.
I feel like some of the stuff that you guys were doing during, like, between season – I'll even go back to two to four. You guys were doing some stuff that I don't think a lot of wrestling fans that were newer have seen ever. So it made things quite interesting to see that, like, when someone was bleeding in wrestling, cool. We've all seen someone bleeding and the guy has the blood on his hands and stuff like that, or they rub it across their chest. Dude, you guys were taking forks and licking them after you stab somebody in the head. And I'm sitting there, like, watching this with my dad and my wife, and they're just like, what are you watching right now? And why are they doing this? And I'm just like, dude, this is wrestling, man. It's Lucha Underground. But they all stopped to watch. So it's getting the attention from people. And I just thought that was some remarkable stuff that you guys were coming up with at that time and doing. Now, let me ask you this. Who was your favorite person to work with in Lucha Underground? Like, if you had to pick one person that you were like, the chemistry was on. I mean, you've had plenty of good matches, but who was, like, your favorite? Like, if you put me and this person in there, game over. It's going to be a great match every time.
See, that's hard. That's hard because my feuds were Killshot and then it was Pentagon. And I liked both for different reasons. Pentagon was more the hardcore, just brawl kind of style, like more hatred.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more about hurting each other than it was. And it was too with Killshot. It seems like most of my feuds go that way. But honestly, both of them I like for different reasons. But Killshot, I think there's just a connection. And in fact, I had a match with him called the Weapons of Mass Destruction match. It was the first time I really played in Lucha Underground. And that match wasn't even supposed to happen. We were just supposed to have a 5-minute blow-off match in season 2. And then we walked up to Chris to Joseph and like, dude, me and Strickland just really like working each other. Can you give us like 10 minutes so we can blow this off? And then the day of the shoot, they're like, yeah, okay, we can do that. So we had a fight, and then the end of the season happened, and that's when we had the Weapons of Mass Destruction match in season 3. So it's awesome that we can go up to our guys and say, hey, I love working this guy. Can we keep this going? And they let us do it. So I would say Shane Strickland is one that just kind of connected.
Now, I love that feud with Killshot as well, Shane Strickland. Whatever you want to call them. Excellent stuff. What I loved about Lucha Underground was also the writing. And I feel like that's something that's been missing from some of the bigger promotions, we'll say, is the consistent writing at the time that just didn't make sense. And you guys flowed like a movie. And my favorite part was the fact that the announcers never acknowledged what we just saw. Like if someone was backstage fighting with someone, they didn't know what happened because they're only in the arena in that setting. It was kind of cool. Like, you know everything and the announcers know nothing. And I thought that made things so much better. Even when you knew a turn was coming, the announcers didn't know. They were like, oh, I'm so shocked that this happened. And you guys led us up to everything. With all that being said, Marty, what is your favorite moment or memory from Lucha Underground if you had to pick one?
I have two. One, the first one was off of air. It was after the Weapons of Mass Destruction match. It was a match that I lost. But me and Shane had asked them, hey, can we continue this feud? We kept it going for season 2. And then in season 3, they said, okay, let's end it. Let's do this big blow-off match. And they had all these props everywhere. And Vampiro came up to us and said, hey, I don't want to put any extra pressure on you, but you need to perform. This is the main event. This is going to elevate both of your guys' careers. And it's got to make or break. If you guys don't nail it out of the park, I don't know when the next time you're going to get a chance of this is. And then me and Shane like, psh, watch this. And we went to town, and one of the best moments for me out of Lucha Underground was after the match was over. The camera shut off, and me and Shane stood up, and the crowd all stood up and gave us a standing ovation and saying thank you. I got a thank you, Marty, because Shane had already walked out of the ring. I got a thank you, Marty, and then I got up on the turnbuckle, and I just kind of took it all in because the temple is intimate. And for me, it was a cool moment because we did. Vampiro said it's now or never. And me and Shane said, watch this, and we did it. And we were off the air, and fans all knew it, and they were all just really appreciative. I think that was a cool moment. I said, I knew I could do it. And so that was my first one. And then even Krista Joseph and the other writers came out of the locker room and was clapping for us. So that was super cool. And then winning the championship. That I have to have that as one of my highlights just because of the reaction. Half the fans were super happy. Half the fans were yelling derogatory terms towards me, and I loved them both, so it was so good to me. Between those two moments, those are my two favorite moments of Lucha Underground so far.
Marty, those are two excellent moments. And I definitely love your work. So if you ever have a doubt, or if someone says you don't have any fans, I'm a fan right here, because I absolutely loved your character and your work. And that goes for everyone who was involved in Lucha Underground. Even the people who are upset about the contracts and stuff, like I mentioned before, that doesn't matter. You guys, I started learning names of people who I never even heard of before because of Lucha Underground. And for that, I'm thankful. I got to see some tremendous performers and some excellent writing. So even if it is Lucha Underground's last rodeo, I think you guys had a hell of a run, and I wish it continued. That's just for me to you. But we've talked enough about some wrestling. I want to get into what you've been doing today and how me and you actually started to talk and interact. Let's talk about your Twitch channel a little bit here. Let the people know where they can find you on Twitch.
Yo, so back when we talked about Tough Enough, you said, what was your biggest takeaway? Well, what my biggest takeaway is that you could do anything in life if you work your ass off for it. And I love hanging out with my girlfriend, and I also love video games. So me and my girlfriend, when I'd be traveling all the time, then we'd get home and we'd sit at home and we'd binge watch Netflix. And then it'd be like the sixth episode in, and you'd get that whole, like, your body's all restless and you hate yourself for sitting there for 6 hours, and it's the seventh episode and Netflix says, are you sure you want to keep watching? And that guilt you do, and you're like, yes, I do. So I'm like, well, what do I enjoy doing that I can still spend time with my girlfriend and be a lot more productive than sit here and binge watching Netflix? Because that's not going to get me any further in life. I'm like, I like video games. I haven't played video games forever. Screw it. Let's go on and play video games with my girlfriend. And she kicks my ass in Mortal Kombat. It pisses me off.
Oh, I've seen it.
She always finishes me with like an ankle kick, just an ankle kick, and I die from an ankle kick all day. But I just thought about, like, what could I do with my girlfriend that could be more productive? And then so we started Twitch so that I could help grow my YouTube channel. I'm like, let's see where this goes. And I was hoping just to grow my YouTube channel. You can follow me on YouTube at Mr. Martin Casals. Literally, Martin Moth, if you type that up, I'm the first one that pops up, because I busted my butt for that SEO. And then people started jumping on Twitch, and a little community started forming. And then now I am streaming four times, or like at least 4 hours a day, Monday through Thursday. I stream my workouts in the morning. At night, I just do my video games. And now this morning, we just added a cooking show as well. So like this little community of how can I spend time with my girlfriend has turned it into, now I have to be on at this time because this community is expecting me to be there. They enjoy me and Leslie. I just videotaped my girlfriend signing autographs for like the second time in her life, a batch autograph thing. I thought it was a super cool moment for me. And like, oh, my babes all signing autographs. But this Twitch channel has been fun. It's fun. I get to play with video games with all you people, all you guys who play PlayStation 4, by the way. I have PlayStation 4. So if you have PlayStation, I would love to play with y'all. I'll play with my subs on Sub Sunday when I'm in town. That's hard subject to change because sometimes, you know, I wrestle still. I'm not taking breaks. I get to play with you guys. It's been a blast. And so we're actually decided we're going to go to TwitchCon in September. And it's just fun because we've built a community. We're having fun. We're hanging out with these ourselves. And we're hanging out with other people and playing and learning video games and learning production. It's been a blast from head to toe. So I'm super excited about Twitch. And if you guys don't know anything about Twitch, you guys need to get your butts on Twitch.
Oh, trust me. There's a lot of gamers who listen to this. And I highly recommend that you guys go on to Twitch. You guys give him a subscribe. I think that's what it's called, or a follow on there. Actually, Marty, if you want to know something cool, one of the people who I used to play NBA 2K with, we used to play like pretty competitively with other teams and stuff. He ended up breaking off, going off, doing his own thing. He actually was the first draft pick for Lakers Gaming as they started their esport. So if you ever see Kev on there for Lakers Gaming, I know Kev. Kev's from New York City, and we used to play with each other all the time on NBA 2K. So for years and years and years, and the kid finally made it. Never had a real job. Kevin, you're the man, bro. I'm telling you, that's congratulations, man. I'm happy for the kid.
Do what you love, man. That kid's making a living playing video games. He's probably happy as hell about it.
Absolutely. Now, I got to ask you this question before we get to the final question of the podcast. First, top five favorite video games of all time.
Oh, GoldenEye 007, Nintendo 64.
Respect.
I got to love the Injustice series. Probably the first one better than the second one, but I love the story mode of Injustice 2. Let's see. Mario Kart. Got to go with Mario Kart. That's just something that was way too fun with playing with people. I have a soft spot in my... I'm going to go with it. Manhattan Project Ninja Turtles, regular Nintendo.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that game. And... I'm going to go with the Batman series. The Batman Arkham series has been, like, all of them are just so fun. And, like, they just made the Super Spider-Man game based off of that. Dude, all that whole system is just so fun. So I'm going to go with the Batman Arkham series for the last one. So I got a little bit of Ninja Turtles, a little bit of GoldenEye James Bond, a little bit of the superheroes in there.
Marty, you picked some good games. So I feel as another gamer to another gamer, I can trust you and your opinion on things. So you're good to go with me.
Think the verse. A lot of people are like, oh, what kind of music do you listen to? I'm like, I got Backstreet Boys on my playlist. I got Killswitch Engage on my playlist. I got Hans Zimmer, who does music soundtracks, on my playlist, and I got Disney on my playlist. So I like to keep things a little bit everywhere.
Listen, there's nothing worse than when I'm at the gym and everyone's like, oh man, what's he listening to? And people are usually like, oh, he's got to be listening to DMX or something. And my trainer used to come over and he would like take the earbud out and just hear what you're listening to. He's like, dude, are you listening to Hall & Oates right now? I'm like, yeah.
There you go.
But you never know what you're going to find out with people. Now, I'm going to give you 1 second here to tell everybody what is next for Marty the Moth.
Well, a few things. I was just shooting a series called The Fleet. You will see that on your screen soon. I'm not sure which ones I am allowed to say, but I've just been filming the series The Fleet. Killswitch Engage is coming out with their new album. They did one of their songs for Lucha Underground for me. They wrote the song and based the song, and I did vocals on the song that's coming out on their new album.
Nice.
They're going to probably take off my vocals because they did it for Lucha Underground and Lucha Underground didn't accept the song. But that's coming out. I just barely came out with a music video with Death Ray Vision, who's also one of his band members is Killswitch Engage, Mike D, who's contacted me all about that. So that music video just dropped last week. So I'm finally seeing a lot more music stuff with Killswitch Engage, Death Ray Vision. You're going to see me some TV with The Fleet and Vegas PI, a show that's going to be coming out with me and Kevin Cross of Impact. Look for that. I'm still wrestling again. It's going insane. So be prepared to see me in a wrestling ring near you or check out your Twitch. Check out your Twitch and play video games with me. That's going to continue happening. What's next is I also just signed an awesome contract with a hotel. We're going to help people with CBD massages. I just launched a CBD brand about a month and a half ago. So I've been focusing hard on that. So what's next? So you got some TV. You got some video games. You have some health supplements for some CBD. CBD's going nuts. I'm a little bit kind of in everybody's face, a little bit everywhere right now. So it shouldn't be hard to find me. I'm doing a lot.
All right, Marty, let the people know where they can find you.
Well, they can find me on MarkCasals.com. You can reach me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all at Mark Casals. Literally, if you Google Mark Casals or Marty the Moth, I should come up with something. Like I said, we got TV shows coming out. Check that out, MarkCasals.com. We got video games. I want to play with you guys if you have a PlayStation 4. So go to Marty the Moth Casals on Twitch. I'm easy to find. Just go to MarkCasals.com and you can find everything there. So I appreciate it very much. Thanks for having me on here, my man.
No, thank you, man. I appreciate all the work that you've done since Tough Enough, Lucha Underground. You've given me so much entertaining wrestling to watch. thank you so much for coming on and doing the show, man. I appreciate you.
No worries, bro. I'll see you on Twitch streams, right?
Of course, no doubt.
I'll be raiding yours and you'll be raiding mine.
Absolutely. Take care, Marty.
See you, buddy.
Thank you for listening to episode 49 of the Everything Pro Wrestling Podcast. I greatly appreciate you listening, and I just wanted to say that before this episode ended. So thank you. We'll be back next week with the big episode 50, episode 50, guys. Thank you so much for getting me to this point. We'll be back next week. Peace.